Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Good morning, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, we open your word this morning. We're asking the Holy Spirit to come forward to be our guide, to give us greater instruction, Father, and revelation of this, your word. Guiding us in all truth. Now, Father, I ask you to be with us throughout this study. May the word spoken this morning be yours and not mine. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're going to be, like I say, in chapter 23 of Matthew. Chapter 23 is actually a chapter where the Lord Jesus he's doing his last condemnation of the Pharisees. Now, and pardon me a minute. The flame just wants to bug me. Now, I don't know how things are going to work this morning. Pardon me. I've got to get rid of this. Excuse me a moment. I've tried to find out what causes that, and so far I haven't been able to find out. Anyway, getting back to what I was saying, This is Jesus' last condemnation of the Pharisees. And it fills most of the chapter here of 23. And it's his final official rejection of them at the temple, their own stronghold, and their place of influence and security. Now, we get here, begin with verse 1. Then spake Jesus to the multitude, to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Now this seat they're talking about is the seat of authority. And this represents the synagogue's chair, which symbolizes the origin and authority of their teaching that God gave them. And yet, that's what they're all wanting to do. But they won't do anything else. They're told that they don't want to do nothing. Now, 3. All therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. You see, they just talk and don't do. We have a lot of that going on within our churches today. They go to church. They claim to be a child of God. They set the pews. Service is over. They get up and go home. Get everything about the service. And they do nothing for the Lord Jesus Christ. Or they do nothing about sharing his word until the next service time. Then they go and sit in the pews again. You see, they're going, but they're just not doing anything. And that does not get us anywhere. Because we are to be a doer of the word. When we get on back into the New Testament, we'll be getting into a lot of that about what we do and what we don't do. No. For they bind heavy burdens and grievances to be borne and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. In other words, he's letting them know that they will not do anything. Verse 5. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their proselytics and enlarge the borders of their garments. But they're doing it all for show. 6. And love the uppermost rooms at peace and the chief seats in the synagogue. That uppermost room you're talking about here. Actually, means what they after is the chief places. The chief of places. Not satisfied with being down low. They want the very highest, the chiefest, the places. Seven. And greetings in the markets, and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. Eight. But be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. You know that rabbi from the Hebrew, in the Hebrew word, means my great one or my teacher. They're told not to do that now. Because they are just seeking the high places. Eight. But be not ye called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. You see, we only have one master, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, nine, and call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father, is in heaven. Think about that for a minute. That we're not to call no man father. But that's talking about and giving us a spiritual meaning, because we're not to call no one on earth our masters. You see, here, to give us kind of a guide to go by, we can call them leaders or teachers, servants, which means ministers or attendants. You see, how far off they are. And yet the Pharisees really had a stronger belief than the Sadducees had. The Pharisees did believe in a resurrection, where the Sadducees didn't. They didn't believe it. Once you're gone, you're just gone. There's no punishment or nothing. You're just gone. Now, neither be ye called masters. The one is your master, even Jesus. 11. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. You see, I'm a servant. I am a servant of mankind. I am the Lord's servant, teaching his word, sharing the gospel. Now, I'm not a master. 11. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. 12. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he shall humble himself shall be exalted. Those that want to lift themselves up to make themselves important before mankind, to really make them think more highly of them, they'll be brought down eventually. But we are to humble ourselves, and then the Lord lifts us up to where he wants us. And he calls upon us to do his bidding of what he is wanting done from you and I. Now, 13. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Think about it. You know, another way of saying you shut up the kingdom of heaven against man is for you to put stumbling blocks in the way of the sinner coming to repentance and conversion. And going into widows' houses, actually, as he states here in the scripture, really means to extort money from the helpless and bring them into debt and bondage while making an outward show of religion. You see? Now, he tells us here in 14, for what I was just talking about. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. 15. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, and hypocrites, for you compress sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. You know, that proselyte, they was trying to make those things and look for proselytes and all for the sake of their own gain. And they would do that under the guise of religion. Now, 16. Woe unto you, you blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing. But whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. Now, they're talking about the gold inside the temple and the temple here. I have to swear by the temple, but not by the gold. But you see, that's not the way. 17. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gold or the temple, that sanctifies the gold. And he's asking them that question. Now, 18. And whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing. But whosoever sweareth by the gift that is upon it, he is guilty. That's what the Pharisees and all are saying. But you see, the Lord's got another thought about that. 19. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifies the gift? You see, they're doing things just exactly backwards because they have made things their way. And today, a lot of things are being made to suit mankind and is against the Word of God. Now, whosoever therefore shall swear by the altar sweareth by it and by all things thereon. And whosoever shall swear by the temple sweareth by it and by him that dwelleth therein. Now I'm going to stop here for just a minute reading here because I want to give you some examples of what I'm talking about in our day and time of this teaching contrary to the Word of God. I've told you before, and I read it to you several times, so I'm not going to go and read it right now again. But you can find it, if you want to read it later, you can find it in 1 John chapter 3 about being born again. You have to be born again in order to enter into the kingdom of God. That's his word. We've read it already. I've read that to you. You find that in the Gospel of John. Chapter 3, where Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. But you see, we have the church's teaching today that you that are saved, you could still just go back and do your same old sins over and over. And then all you have to do is just go to Jesus and ask for forgiveness, and he would keep forgiving that same old thing. No, he won't. No. He will not. Number one, if you are a born-again child of God, you're not going to commit that sin. If you remember, when I read it to you, it told us, cannot sin because we are born of God. So number one, you're not going to go back and do that sin. But two, if you do go back and do that sin, you would be falling away from the Lord God. But they're teaching that. They are accepting things into our churches today that should never pass the front door. They're accepting homosexuality as just another way of life. And our churches are accepting that. A lot of them. Not all of them, but a lot of them. No. Homosexuality is an abomination unto God. could never even think about the church accepting that. Abortion, killing our babies, is being accepted into a lot of the churches as being a woman's choice. No. Her right. No, it's not. No one has the right to take that child's life. That's murder. Any way you want to look at it. Oh, no, you know, it's not a being until it breathes this air. Yet what did Jesus tell John the Baptist? He was filled with the Holy Spirit while he was in his mother's womb. And if it wasn't life, it would not develop and grow. There is life there. That life is there from the moment of conception. God, but see, that's not what you're teaching. And adultery is running really very highly in our nation today. That and fornication. We know adultery is when a spouse that is married steps out on the spouse. That's adultery. And no adulterer is going to enter into the kingdom of heaven, yet we have them in the pulpits being accepted as ministers. Think about these things. And our young people today, and even the young adults, and quite a few of the older ones, they go and they date, and they have their sexual times. That is fornication. And then after a time, they decide they're going to move in together without the benefit of marriage. All the time they are living together without the benefit of marriage, that is fornication. And they're not going to heaven either. But the churches will not teach it today. Because they don't want to lose any of their congregation because they don't want to lose the money. That's what it's all about. But yet, they're walking and accepting things that not only that one behind the podium on his way to hell, taking his congregation with him that will follow him. And then we have all of these organizations, church organizations, that are accepting women pastors. The word says no. Back in the 1 Timothy, the 2nd chapter, he tells you, and he didn't pull any punches about it. He made it very, very, very plain about it. Now, he states, Membari Deti, starting here, it's in chapter 2, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with braided hair, or gold, or pearls, or costly array. You see, ladies, he even tells you how to dress. And, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Let the women learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. He says, but I suffer not. That word suffer in the Hebrew and the Greek means allow or permit. So what he's really saying is, but I allow or permit not a woman to teach nor usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. And then he even gets stronger. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Now, we'll go to chapter 14. We'll start here with 31. It says, for ye, you may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn, and all may be comforted. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. Now, he's talking here about the men. Still. He's just getting ready to get to the ladies. Thirdly, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. All churches now of the saints. Let your women keep silent in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. It is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. You see, and yet, most of our denominational churches today are accepting women preachers and pastors. I got one right down the street from me. But I will tell you this also. It's about to close. Because when she took over, the church is full. And they are down now to between 5 and 8 people. And within a radius of, say, a 4-mile circle of my home, there is 5 churches. That ladies have already closed. And we have 1, 2, 3 more that I know of right now that are on the verge of closing with lady pastors. It just doesn't work. Because you see, when God says you don't do something, you don't do it because he's not going to work through you. Oh, they went to school. They went to seminaries and learned how to turn things upside down and take them apart and put them back together to make them say what they wanted it to say. But you see, it's not the Word of God. It's not the truth. Now, all right, let's get on here. With our lesson here. In fact, we ain't gonna get done with this morning. I've enjoyed what God has given us, but we're not gonna finish up here with this. So I think what we'll do, I think we'll stop here. We've come through verse 21. We'll stop here, and God willing, we'll pick up here this evening and finish out chapter 23, and we'll probably get into 24. 24 is another quite lengthy. Let's see, it's got 51 verses. So we're probably going to be a couple of days of getting through, getting all the way through 23 and 24. All right now, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we close your word, as always, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for these times that we can come together to share your word with each other and with you, Father. Now, Father, your saints, wherever they are in the world, I pray that the Holy Spirit keep them in health, keep them safe, and take care of their needs. For Israel, Jerusalem, we pray for peace for them, Father. But even more than that, Father, we pray that they will all accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, and that Israel will be known one day as a land for Jesus. And Father, we are praying for this land of ours. We're praying that our evil leadership of our government and our churches be replaced, Father, with those that belong to you, that are walking in righteousness, that love you, Father, that love the Lord Jesus, that loves the church and loves this country, and will work with us to bring our government and put it back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, for those that are of this ministry, for Amy and Tom, her husband, her son Jacob, for James Taylor, for Kenny Powers, for Dennis Lee, for Bobby and Millie Johnson, for myself, and Father, all of our families. We all have family members that are walking in darkness, filled with evil. I pray that the Holy Spirit speak to them, work with them, and help us to work with them, to bring them out of darkness and into the light, that light being the Lord Jesus Christ, so that none be lost, Father, and all can make heaven their home. Now, Father, be with each and every one of us. and use us. Use us in mighty ways, Father. Because we all need to be sharing the word of Almighty God. Now, Father, keep us through this day. Keep us in health. Keep us safe. And bring us back together again this evening, Father, at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. And back into your word. Father, this is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, all. Walk with God. He'll walk with you.
Have a great, great, great day, every one of you.